بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Tonight's majlis we are dedicating to completion of Hifz al-Quran. We've got a youngster that will be completing. You can come forward, Yusuf Patel. So alhamdulillah, it is a month of the Quran also. And if tonight is Laylatul Qadr, this was the night in which the Quran was revealed also. So on that basis also, appropriate that this dedication to Hifz, Khatma of the Hifz al-Quran takes place. نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون صدق الله العظيم. We are indeed very, very fortunate. Allah Ta'ala showers many, many bounties upon us. Hakim al-Islam, Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that you can count the drops of rain that fall, but you can't count the bounties of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You can count the grains of sand in the desert, but you can never count the bounties of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You can count the stars in the sky, but you will never count the bounties of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala Himself says in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try and enumerate the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, you will never be able to count them. So among those great bounties is this bounty, that alhamdulillah, almost every day, every second day, we have someone or the other completing memorization of the Quran al-Kareem. There was a time when in this province there was scarcity of hufaz. Such a paucity of hufaz, the hufaz to be called in from places like Cape Town, etc., in order to perform the Taraweeh Salah. Now, alhamdulillah, we have so many hufaz just in a small town like Azadwal too, where we have Taraweeh taking place in numerous venues. So indeed, a great bounty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This youngster will be completing the Quran. He is most fortunate. It comes in the hadith to this effect, that when a person completes the Quran in the evening, whether it is hifz, in this case, whether looking inside and reading the Quran, if a person completes the Quran at night, then till the morning, the farishtas make dua and rahmat for that person, that Allah may shower His mercies upon that person. And if a person completes the Quran in the morning, during the day, then until the night, farishtas make dua for that person. In one hadith it comes to this effect, that the person who completes the Quran, Allah Ta'ala sends an angel, farishta, to plant a kiss between his two eyes on the forehead. So imagine being kissed by an angel, by a farishta. Very, very fortunate. Also it comes that at the time of completion of the Quran, du'as that are made are readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are assured acceptance. So much so that in one narration it's mentioned that the du'a that is made at the completion of the Quran, Allah ta'ala deputes 4,000 malaika farishtas to say ameen to that du'a. And this is perhaps why Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala was a special khadim, servant of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came into the service of Nabiya Kareem sallam to run his errands, his chores, at the tender age of 10. And for 10 years, up to the demise of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till he turned 20, he used to run the errands of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was his habit, his practice, in his household, whenever someone would complete the Quran, he would get the family members together and they would engage in dua, because these people appreciated the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They had full yaqeen, full conviction that on this occasion duas are accepted. And the family members used to gather together were not small in number. It comes in a hadith when he served Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, You surrender chores and errands of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallam became so pleased with his services that on one occasion Nabi sallam gave him this dua that Allahumma ij'alil barakata fi malihi wa waladihi. Allah, you put blessings in his wealth, sustenance, and in his children, progeny. This dua got accepted to the extent that as far as his sustenance is concerned, he had fruit orchards, date orchards. Everyone else's fruit trees normally give fruit, bear fruit once in a year. But his tree used to bear fruit twice in the year. The barakat of the dua of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the dua that Nabi Sallam made for his children. He was so fortunate, Allah gave him a lengthy lifespan. He lived up to approximately 100 years old. In that time he outlived many wives. Got married, she passed away, got married again. He used to have several, up to 4 wives at a time. So all in all, it is said his own children numbered up to 100. And if you take into account his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they will number into several hundreds. So much so that he used to say that in my lifetime with my own hands, I buried 120 of my progeny, meaning children, grandchildren. A plague broke out, endemic, in which many people lost their lives, among them many of his children, grandchildren. All in all, with his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they numbered so many in total that when he used to go for tawaf of the Baytullah to Makkah al-Mukarramah, the entire mataf used to get full with only his family. So whenever he would complete the Qur'an or anyone in his household would complete the Qur'an, they would inform him, they would get together to make dua. This Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala is that noble sahabi of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whom Allah ta'ala saved even from the clutches of Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. We heard about Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi a few nights ago, that he killed so many thousands of people in cold blood for no reason at all. So he also imprisoned Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, wanted to have him also beheaded, wanted to kill him. But it comes that when he was brought before Hajjaj bin Yusuf and he wanted to execute Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, he began to shiver, his knees buckled. He could not muster up the courage to give instructions to kill Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. What was the reason for this? According to one report, later Hajjaj bin Yusuf himself told his people, his confidants, that when I made the intention to kill Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, he was standing in front of me. Suddenly I noticed 2 huge lions on his shoulders, about to pounce on me. If I were to harm a hair of the body of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, they were waiting to pounce on me. According to one report. So if this was not the case, the very fact that he was overtaken by awe, fear, for some reason or the other, he had to let Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu go, and he made the excuse that if you had not served the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would have killed you. On that basis I am letting you go. But the secret behind this, later, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said to his friends, associates, that the reason why Hajjaj bin Yusuf could not get the courage to kill me is that I was under the protection of a certain dua taught to me by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because Nabi Karim some exclusively taught this dua to Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, it became known as dua Anas, the dua of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. We all ought to learn this dua. We have a crime situation in the country, rampant violence, crime spiraling out of control. This dua is a means of great protection. We may have heard a few months ago, there was an attempt on the life of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatuh, traveling in a motor vehicle with his wife, some children, and people surrounded his vehicle. This happened in Pakistan, with automatic rifles. They began to fire at random. The driver of the vehicle was also the guard. He became shaheed. So people can't understand till today. So many shots were fired. But yet, Mufti Taqi Sahab, his wife and the child with him, they were totally unharmed. Later when he was interviewed, he said to the people that I have the habit of reciting the Dua-i-Anas daily. And that day also in the vehicle, I said to my wife too, and the child also, to recite this dua. He says, Mufti Taqi Sahab, Dan Barakatuhum, that perhaps, in fact I'm sure, that it was on the basis of this dua that Allah Ta'ala saved us. So it is a dua that you all ought to learn. Very simple. Bismillahi ala nafsi wa dini. Bismillahi ala ahli wa mali wa waladi. Bismillahi ala ma'atani Allah. Allahu Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Wa a'azzu wa ajallu wa a'azamu mimma akhafu wa ahdar. Azza jaruka wa jalla sana'uka wa la ilaha ghayruk. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر كل شيطان مريض ومن شر كل جبار عنيد فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم إن وليي الله الذي نزل الكتاب وهو يتولى الصالحين. This is dua Anas. We should try and make an attempt to find out where this dua is available, try and memorize it. We complain about crime in this country. Inshallah, if you recite this dua, Allah will put you under His protection. Like He protected Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala from Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Like He protected Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Daud Barakatum, and his family from these assailants. So this is a dua we ought to learn. So nonetheless, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala was blessed with the protection of the dua. He had the dua of Nabi Kareem Sawasim for barakah in his sustenance, in his progeny, and Allah Ta'ala showed him that barakah. This completion of Hifz al-Quran is indeed a tremendous bounty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We see many virtues in the ahadith. We ought to appreciate this bounty. We cannot thank Allah Ta'ala enough. So many huffaz in our midst. One virtue mentioned in a hadith, Nabi Sallam says to this effect, that inna lillahi ta'ala ahlina fi nas. Allah Ta'ala has a family amongst mankind. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were taken aback with surprise that we know our belief, Allah has no family, lam yalid wa lam yulad. He did not beget, nor was He begotten. مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا. Allah has no wife, no spouse, no children. So they were curious to know. They asked Nabi Kareem Sa'azim, Ya Rasulullah, مَنْ هُمْ. That who is this family of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? So Nabi Kareem Sa'azim replied, هُمْ أَهْلُ اللَّهِ. هُمْ أَهْلُ الْقُرْآنِ. أَهْلُ اللَّهِ وَخَاصَّتُهُ. Nabi Sa'azim said, that the family of Allah Ta'ala, meaning the spiritual family of Allah. He has no biological family. Who is his family? Hum Ahlul Qur'an. People of the Qur'an. Commentators say, this refers to the Huffaz. Nabi Sa'azim says, this is the spiritual family of Allah Ta'ala. Ahlullah wa khasatu. This is the spiritual family of Allah, and specially chosen servants of Allah Ta'ala. Huffaz of the Qur'an. In one hadith, Nabi Sa'azim says, إِذَا أَحَبَّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ رَبَّهُ فَلْيَقْرَأِ الْقُرْآنِ. If any of you wishes to converse with his cherisher, with his nourisher, with his Rabb, he should recite the Qur'an. So who fathers are fortunate, while driving the vehicle, walking to and fro, They have memorized the Quran, recited at all times, driving the vehicle, walking. In this way, Allah Ta'ala is talking to them via the Quran. So they are in conversation, communication with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَشْرَافُ أُمَّتِي حَمَلَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَأَصْحَابُ اللَّيْلِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ لِسَلَاتِ السَّلَامِ. The most honorable of my ummah are those who carry the Quran in their bosoms, the huffaz, and those who stand up for the tahajjud salah. They enjoy the most honor in the sight of Allah. Yet in one hadith, it is mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَرَأَ سُورَةَ طَاهَا وَسُورَةَ يَاسِينَ قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَ الْخَلْقَ بِأَلْفِ عَامٍ. Allah Ta'ala, before He even created the creation, that is, of man and jinn, before He created people to populate this earth, malaika were created already. Allah Ta'ala, 1,000 years prior to the creation of this earth, man and jinn, Allah Ta'ala recited Surah Yasin and Surah Taha in front of the farishtas, in front of the angels. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ قَالَتْ طُوبَى لِأُمَّةٍ يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهَا هَذَا وَطُوبَى لِأَجْوَافٍ تَحْمِلُ هَذَا وَطُوبَى لِأَلْسِنَةٍ تَنْطِقُ بِهَذَا أو كما قال لصلاة السلام. The farishta said glad tidings to that ummah upon whom this Quran will be revealed, and glad tidings to those bosoms that will carry this Quran, who will memorize this Quran, and glad tidings to that ummah who will recite this Quran, articulate this Quran. So the malaika are giving glad tidings to this ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we are blessed with this bounty of the Quran Karim. The Quran, in fact, was sent down twice. The first time, it was sent down in its entirety from the Lawh-e Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, to the lowest heaven. This event took place in the month of Ramadan, on the night of Qadr. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Allah refers to this revelation when the Quran was brought down in its entirety to the lowest heaven. And this also in the month of Ramadan, when it occurred, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, on the night of Qadr, the night of power. This was the first time the Quran came down. The verse which I recited, Allah makes mention of this, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. This is noble Quran, فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٍ, which is stored in a preserved tablet, referring to the Lawh-e Mahfuz. So it was preserved there. From there Allah Ta'ala sent it down to the lowest heaven in its entirety. Thereafter, piecemeal, bit by bit, as a necessity arose, over a period of 23 years, the Quran was then slowly revealed upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the guidance of this ummah. So we are most fortunate. Allah has blessed us. So one is to show appreciation for this great ni'mat. Secondly, by way of advice, especially to all huffaz, addressing myself first and foremost, other huffaz, even the hafiz completing, very, very important, that just becoming hafiz of the Quran is not sufficient to maintain that hafiz. To make sure you remember the Quran, that is more important. Ulama have written, it is not wajib and compulsory for every Muslim to memorize the Quran. But once a person memorizes the Quran, then it becomes wajib to remember that Quran, not to forget the Quran. In some hadith, Nabi Sallam gives an illustration, example, that the Quran is like a camel that is loosely tied. That if a person ties it loosely to a pillar or somewhere, it will bolt, run away. He has to tie it securely. So similarly, the Quran can bolt and be removed, leave the heart, if it is not read regularly, if it is not recited regularly, a person can forget the Quran. In fact, this is one of the punishments for a person that forgets the Quran. Ulama say it is easy to memorize the Quran, but after you forget it, to relearn the Quran, to memorize it again, that is a very difficult task. We heard the other day after Asr, listening to the biography of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, that one person became Hafiz, Allah gave him tawfiq in later life, at the age of 21, he became Hafiz. For a few years, he recited the Quran in Taraweeh, and then he got so engrossed behind worldly pursuits, behind the dunya, that unfortunately he forgot his Quran. 22 years went by. He never picked up the Quran to read. Entirely forgot the Quran. Then Allah Ta'ala somehow put that fikr, concern in his heart, that I must relearn the Quran. He was already about 45. He went to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, took bait on the hands of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, took his du'as, his advice. Hazrat advised him to start memorizing the Quran again. And as we heard that day, he was still fortunate. In a period of 6 months, he re-memorized the Quran. And then he continued to recite the Quran daily. Thereafter, he never forgot that. So he was fortunate. In 6 months, he could relearn the Quran. Some people, if they forget the Quran, it takes them years and years to re-memorize the Quran. So this is the haqq and the right of the Quran, to maintain it. To memorize the Quran says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. Although most Mufassirin say it refers to practicing upon the Quran, advices of the Quran, we have made easy to follow. Is there anyone following the advices? But one opinion of some Mufassirin say, it also refers to hifz al-Quran. We have made the Quran easy to learn. But once it is learnt, then to preserve it, that is something that a person has to pay attention to. Otherwise you can lose the Quran. Look at our pious predecessors. How much they used to recite the Quran. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Mawlana Hashim Jogwari, Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, has published a book in which he has published correspondence that he had with Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh. On the foreword of that book, Mawlana Yusuf Mutala of UK of Bari, he has written a small foreword. There he mentions that Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, in spite of his engrossments, teaching Bukhari Sharif, writing commentaries on hadith, meeting with visitors, attending to his murids, with all those engrossments, daily, he used to recite 13 or 14 juz of the Quran, every day. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, people that are close to him, Hazrat Mufti Ahmed Khan Puri, Dan Barakatum, says, that very often I notice Mufti Sahib's lips moving all the time. And by the time the sun was about to set, he would be reciting Surah An-Nas, completing one khatam daily, which is something I also saw. We accompanied Hazrat on some of his safars. I mentioned the other day, Hazrat sitting in the front seat next to the driver, his lips are moving perpetually throughout the journey, reciting the Quran. And sometime to make sure we are not asleep on the back seat, I used to sit next to Maulana Ibrahim Pandor Sahib. Intermittently, Hazrat would, so to say, as if get stuck somewhere for the recitation, he would call out to me, Saeed, iske baad kya hai? Which is the ayat after this? So to keep me awake, let's say he asked me in the 7th para, long journey for the motor vehicle. After an hour or two, he apparently gets stuck in the 24th or 25th para, and again he asks me, what is after this? So from that we could gauge, Hazrat Mufti Sahib used to make one khatam daily of the Quran Kareem, in spite of all his other work. Although I have written about a Buzurg by the name of Ibn al-Katib al-Sufi. He used to make 4 khatams in a day and 4 khatams at night. 8 khatams in total. Allama Qastalani rahmatullahi, the Shari, commentator of Bukhari Sharif, he writes that once I went to Palestine, Baytul Maqdis, someone pointed out to me a man by the name of Abu Tahir. He was from the students of Sheikh Shihabuddin rahmatullahi. And people told me he makes 15 khatams day and night. In 24 hours, 15 khatams of the Quran Kareem. People like Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala, they used to make khatam of the entire Quran in one rakat. Among the Tabi'een, Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi, whom we heard about the other day, the last person that Hajjaj bin Yusuf killed 15 days after he executed Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi, Hajjaj bin Yusuf died a terrible death. So nonetheless, Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi, he too used to recite the entire Quran in one rakat. Such was a phenomenal memorization of the Quran and the vigilance to ensure the Quran is not forgotten. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ismail Shahid Sahib rahmatullahi, one of our Akabir elders, on one occasion, not in order to boast or to brag, but to expose and show the bounties of Allah Ta'ala upon him, by way of tahdith and amat, making mention of Allah Ta'ala's bounties, in order to show shukr, he said to a gathering of people, that some people are so blessed by Allah Ta'ala, they know the Quran so well, and recite so articulately, that if they begin the Quran from Asr namaz, after performing Asr, before the sun sets, they can complete the Quran. People were astonished to hear this. They challenged him. They prove it to us. So then he admitted, Allah has given me this capability. So in order to listen to him, people gathered on the banks of the river in Delhi, the river Ganga, Ganges, and he stood on the bridge, big crowd around him, he began to recite from Alhamdu, Alif Lam Mim, after performing Asar Salah. We know the time from Asar to Maghrib is a mere 1.25 hours, most 1.5 hours. In that time, very clearly, proper pronunciation. He read the entire Quran up to An-Nas, by the time the sun set. Obviously this was a karamat, given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other people were also blessed with such karamat, with regard to even committing the Quran to memory. There was a person by the name of Hisham Kalbi, rahmatullahi. He memorized the entire Quran from cover to cover in 3 days. So he used to tell the people that with the fadl grace of Allah, I have accomplished a feat which none have done. But he also admitted, at the same time, I committed such a foolish mistake that none have done. Then he explained that with the fadl of Allah, the feat I accomplished, I memorized the Quran within a space of 3 days. But Allah Ta'ala perhaps wanted to bring me down a peg or two, so that I did not become swollen-headed. One day, I was busy trimming my beard. If the beard grows to beyond a fist, hairs that protrude, you are allowed to cut them. But remember, to shave the beard, to cut the beard less than a fist, below the chin, and even on the sides, that is haram. So in order to trim his long beard, he caught it in his fist. He says, absent-mindedly, by mistake, instead of putting the scissor under the fist, I put it on top of the fist. In effect, cutting off the beard. So he says, such a foolish mistake. Maybe Allah Ta'ala wanted to give me a reminder that that memorization in 3 days was not your achievement. It was my fadl. You can even make such a foolish mistake. So Ulama say, to forget the Quran is a major sin. Gunaya kabira. A hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif explains, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that the deeds of my ummah were presented to me, good deeds as well as bad deeds. Then Nabi Sam goes on to say, from among the good deeds, this deed of my ummah was shown to me, that when a person goes into the house of Allah, into the masjid, he finds a blade of grass on the masjid floor, a speck of dust, picks it up, disposes of it out of the window, outside. If he cannot go outside, puts it in the pocket to dispose later. So to clean the masjid, the house of Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, seemingly a very trivial action, but holding great rewards. Today we expect this to be the work of the muazzin, of the masjid cleaners. The duty of every single Muslim, if he sees any dust, speck of dust, blade of grass in the masjid, pick it up, clean the masjid. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the bad deeds of my ummah were also presented to me. And one of the biggest sins shown to me by Allah Ta'ala of my ummah is that of a person who memorizes a surah of the Quran or even one ayat of the Quran and he forgets it. So this warning is not only for the huffaz. Many ordinary people memorize certain surahs of the Quran, certain verses. Even that has to be maintained. After memorizing those verses, those surahs, whether it is in Amma Para, keep making revision, maintain it. If that is forgotten, then such a person also is making himself a target of the punishment of Allah. In fact, the reason that a person forgets the Quran is due to his own negligence, his own gunas. That is why in Bukhari Sharif, Abdullah bin Masood Radwan relates the hadith of Rasul Kareem Sa'asim, that if you forget Quran or any part of the Quran, do not say nasitu, that I forgot it. Say nusitu, I have been made to forget. In other words, I must blame myself. Allah has removed it from my heart, because I was negligent. I was not reciting the Quran regularly. My own doing. I need to blame myself. In one hadith in Shu'abul Iman, Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala, relates from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a person, after memorizing the Quran, forgets the Quran, on the day of Qiyamah, you will be raised as a leper with the disease of leprosy, in which a person's skin becomes rotten and pieces of flesh begin to fall off. How embarrassing that will be on the day of Qiyamah, in front of the entire makhluk, a person's skin falling off, indicating that he neglected the Quran al-Kareem and he forgot the Quran. At the end of that hadith, Shu'ab al-Iman, hadith ends here. But in Jam' al-Fawaid, the hadith continues. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, اقرأوا إن شئتم ومن أعرض عن ذكري. That read in the Quran to Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this warning. That فَإِنَّ لَهُ A person who is averse to the Quran, neglects the Quran, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ He will have a constrained form of sustenance. Allah will take away his rosy. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى And will raise him on the day of Qiyamah as a blind person. Although most Mufassirin say, this refers to rejecting the commands of Allah, not practicing upon the Quran. But some Mufassirin opine, this also refers to forgetting the Quran after memorizing it. So this is another punishment, that a person will be deprived of his rosy. He will be raised as a blind person on the day of Qiyamah. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا He will ask, Oh Allah, why did you raise me as a blind person? He will be told, وَكَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. That you are blessed with the verses of the Quran. You memorize them. But then out of negligence, you let them leave your heart. You forgot the Quran, today you will be forgotten. You will be not shown mercy. So this is something very, very important. In Tafsir al-Qurtubi, there is one riwayat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that من تعلم القرآن ثم علّك مصحفه لم يتعاهد ولا ينظر فيه جاء القرآن متعلقا به يوم القيامة ويقول يا رب العالمين هذا اتخذني مهجورا فاقضي بيني وبينه. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that if a person learns the Quran and then puts it on the shelf, forgets about it, he hangs it up somewhere, لم يتعهد, never bothers to revise what he has memorized, لم ينظر فيه, never looks into the Quran, because of which he forgets the Quran. On the day of Qiyamah, that same Quran will be given the power of speech. The Quran will complain to Allah Ta'ala, that this person discarded me. Allah, you make the decision between me and him. In others, you punish him. If the Quran has to make this plea, we can well imagine the plight of that person. There was a Qari Sahib, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Rahimi of Pakistan. He has passed on, Rahmatullahi, a student of Qari Rahim Bakhsh, Rahmatullahi. He used to say that the punishment mentioned in various nusus, ayat, hadith, for forgetting the Quran, the mainstream view is, if a person forgets the Quran to an extent that he cannot even look inside and recite, he forgot his hifz, he forgot his nazar also, that person is the target of this punishment. He says this is the mainstream view. But he says, the same Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahimi, who later made hijrah to Medina, passed away there, buried in Medina. He used to say that my asatida, the mashayikh in whose company I stayed, they said, forgetting the Quran even refers to this, that not to that extent where he forgets how to look inside and read also, but the way he memorized the Quran in his hifz class from his asatida. How solid the Quran was at that point of time. If there is some decrease in that, there is some weakness, this person also is guilty of the sin of forgetting the Quran. In fact, his own opinion, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Rahimi Rahmatullahi, his opinion, he says, if a person reaches a stage, a hafiz, who no longer has the courage to stand up in Tarawih to recite the Quran, or if he stands up, he makes many, many mistakes, that person is also guilty of forgetting the Quran. He can also pay face punishment. This Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahimi's Ustaz, Qari Rahim Bakhsh Rahmatullahi, he was a student of Qari Fateh Muhammad Rahmatullahi. So Qari Rahim Bakhsh Rahmatullahi used to say, in my opinion, the hafiz that cannot recite the entire Quran out of memory from cover to cover in one sitting, in my opinion, that is not a hafiz. A true hafiz is one who can recite the entire Quran in one sitting, whether it takes hours, from cover to cover. So it's very important to keep revising the Quran. And the third important thing, as a way of advice for all Huffaz, addressing myself first and foremost, that not only to memorize the Quran, but to practice upon the Quran. When Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha was asked, كَيْفَ كَانَ خُلُقُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, how was the character of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She replied, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, His character was an embodiment of the Quran, personification of the Quran. He was a living example of the Quran. Every injunction of the Quran, he put into practice. And that should be the shan, the trait of every hafiz, to practice the Quran. Otherwise, severe warnings are mentioned in the hadith. In Tafsir al-Qurtubi, there is one narration, one riwayat, that there is a valley, deep valley in Jahannam. In that valley there is a well. The whole Jahannam and that well also seeks 7 times a day refuge from a snake, a serpent that is in that well. That serpent is so dangerous, so potent, that 7 times every day Jahannam and that valley in Jahannam seeks Allah's refuge from the serpent. And the function of the serpent, the narration mentions, this serpent will be unleashed on those kuffars who do not practice upon the Quran, who commit sins. We need to cry tears of blood today. Parents ought to look after the children, their Islamic upbringing. Boys that become hafiz, found in the nightclubs, in the raves. Is this a justice that you are doing to the Quran? Taking the Quran to filthy places. Huffaz shaving their beards. In the month of Ramadan, we get questions in the Darul Ifta. That in our locality, the hafiz is clean shaven. No one else capable of reciting the entire Quran in Taraweeh. Should we put him in front? We have to give the fatwa according to the kitabs. That for the trustees to appoint such a hafiz to lead the Taraweeh Salah is makruh tahrimi. In other words, in practice it is haram. You make spoiling the muqtadi salah behind such an imam. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah used to say that if you can't find a hafiz with a proper shar'i beard, then rather take an ordinary person with a beard, read Taraweeh from Alam Tara behind him, which will be far superior, better than listening to the entire Quran behind a clean shaven hafiz. So important this is. So this hadith to remember the serpent to be unleashed on a hafiz of the Quran that does not do justice to the Quran, disobeys Allah, commits sins, becomes a transgressor. In one hadith it is mentioned that رُبَّ قَارٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنِ يَلْعَنُهُ. There are many recites of the Quran, even the Quran curses them for not practicing on the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ أَقْوَامَ وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. In one hadith, Allah Ta'ala raises some people, those who recite the Quran, practices them, Allah elevates them. Whereas Allah Ta'ala drops from grace other people who do not practice upon the Quran, in spite of having learned the Quran. In one hadith, Al-Quran hujjatun lak aw alayk. The Quran will either be your ally on the day of Qiyamah, interceding on your behalf, or it will become your opponent, drag you into Jahannam. So very, very important. Together with learning the Quran, practice upon the Quran. Parents also have a responsibility. You make your children hafiz, monitor the actions. Make sure they are towing the line of Sharia. And then together with that, tajweed, also very, very important. This mentality, to look for the masjid where the fastest Taraweeh takes place, get done in the quickest possible time, no matter how the hafiz is reciting, Ya Alamun, Ta Alamun,
You only understand the last words of the ayat, nothing else. This hadith, رُبَّ قَادٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُ refers to such reciters as well, who do not recite the Qur'an clearly, correctly. The Qur'an curses them as well. Look at our foolishness. We go to a masjid where Tarawih is over, let's say, by 8:15. Yet we have the time outside the masjid to stand with our friends, smoke our cigarettes, indulge in idle conversation, and go home at 9 p.m. What is the point? Defeating the purpose. Washing down the drain. Whatever you have followed there. First and foremost, Quran not recited with tajweed correctly. And secondly, feeling very, very content that we have done something good. Go to a masjid where the Tarawih finishes at 9 p.m. but the Hufaz recite articulately, clearly, with tajweed, do justice to the Quran. We had the good fortune of doing hifz in Hardoi. There in the UP province, this is totally alien, to have Tarawih with 3 or 4 hufaz dividing the rakats, 8 rakats, 4 rakats. In UP, generally, all the masajid, the hafiz has to lead the Tarawih all 20 rakats. In that way the Quran also is preserved. So when we completed, Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi dispatched us, dispatched me also, to a masjid of the town of Hardoi. And he used to keep monitoring most of the masajid in the town, Isha used to start a bit later to facilitate it for the people of that area. The Tarawih in the madrasa used to end a bit earlier. So Hazrat used to come to these masajid very quietly, secretly, stand behind the hafiz. If he's not reciting according to tajweed correctly, we would be reprimanded. I remember vividly on one occasion, went to the last para, Amma para, and I recited Suratul Infitar. I did not know Hazrat is behind. And I read, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. Did not pull the mud. I heard a booming voice from behind, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. Pull that mud. Make the ikhfa there. Obviously my knees began shaking. Now I knew Hazrat is behind. So nonetheless, he used to emphasize that all in all, Isha Salah, Tarawih, Witr, should not be completed in under 1.5 hours time. Then you can recite the Quran correctly with tajweed. Give time for tasbihat in ruku, sajda. Give time for tahiyat, durud, dua. Nowadays, express Tarawih. You're still busy with durud, and the imam makes salam already. So something to take notice of. That are we not doing a disservice to ourselves? So nonetheless, keeping these points in mind, Allah give us a tawfiq, especially the hufaz, that we look after the Quran, recite it regularly. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in used to recite at least 1 manzil daily. Divide the Quran in 7 portions, 7 manzils. Each manzil, 4.5 juz or a bit more. Then the Quran can be preserved. When we come back to our mashayikh, they also advise, if you're hafiz, you should recite at least 3 paras daily. If you're non-hafiz, at least 1 para daily. To do justice to the Quran. So very, very important. And to practice how important it is, we end with this hadith. من قرأ القرآن وعمل بما فيه ألبس والده تاجا يوم القيامة ضوءه أحسن من ضوء الشمس في بيوت الدنيا لو كانت فيكم فما ظنكم بالذي عمل به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The person who recites the Quran Commentator says, Sayyid refers to the Hafiz of the Quran. He memorizes the Quran, and Nabi Sallam emphasizes, wa amila bima fi, and he practices on the Quran. Then your parents will be given those crowns on the day of Qiyamah that will be more radiant than the sun. So we feel very content that we will be given these crowns. But this is subject to the condition that the Hafiz practices upon the Quran. And the radiance of that crown will be such, if the sun were to enter our homes, how illuminated it will become. Those crowns will be more radiant than even that sun. If that is the honor of the parents, Nabi Sallam says, what will be the honor of the Hafiz? And the honor of the Hafiz, we are honoring this Hafiz here, in this gathering, completing the last Sabbat, in front of his ustaz, in front of the whole gathering. But more honor, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will say to the Hafiz, اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلك عند آخر آية تقرأها أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Hafiz will be told, his honor, begin to recite and recite with tajweed correctly like you used to recite in the world. Your elevated rank in Jannat will be determined by the last verse that you recite. So if we kept connection with the Quran, maintained the Quran, Quran is more than 6,000 verses. So 6,000 stages you will be elevated. And the stages of Jannat are not like our buildings, climbing two flights of stairs, coming to the next floor. In Jannat, the distance between one floor, one stage and the next is like the distance between the earth and the sky. So elevated people will be, the Hufaz. Allah accept the hifz of the child that is completing tonight, accept the efforts of his asatida, his first ustaz, was Qari Abdul Aziz Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, who laid the foundation for the successful hifz classes running under this jamaat. Allah falis qamar of nur. So this is the manifestation of the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when a person dies, he still gets the reward of certain actions. Among them, ilmin yuntafa'u bihi. Any service towards the knowledge of deen that other people benefit from. So even after the person has passed on, he's in his qabr, Qari Sahib is there, but inshallah, he will get the fruits of the child completing the Quran. Other ustaz that took over, Allah can reward them as well. He also went for a short period of time to the dear Mufti Bauda, Maddazillah's madrasa. Allah reward the ustaz there as well. And then later, Maulana Abdul Aziz Sahib Abbas spent some time in his class, and eventually Maulana Ahmad Jasad. Allah reward them all for the efforts on this young boy. Allah reward his parents. Inshallah, give them those crowns to wear on the day of Qiyamah, based on the practicing Hafiz. And also Allah can reward this Jamaat, the committee members, for making the facilities available for this Hifz classes to run in this institute. And Allah Ta'ala reward, accept from all wishes, well wishes of the institute, all those who give their support morally, financially, whichever way, Allah accept from all of them. And inshallah, Allah create that zeal, vigor, yearning for the Quran in our hearts. That we do justice to the Quran. We should not restrict it to the month of Ramadan. Set aside some time to recite throughout the year. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.